Mini-episode 201 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs, consulting, and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, welcome back. It's FDH Lounge, mini-episode 201. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down NFL Week 7 for you. I got to say, Kyle, you've been riding high with your recommended picks here this year, 16-7-1. My picks, I am in a real crisis of confidence right now. 6-8 overall last week, 0-3 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock. My picks for the year, 44-44-3 overall, 7-10-1 on my big three, 4-2 on my locks. This is not a good stretch for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not a good stretch for a lot of people on your side of the fence this week. And, you know, off the chalk covering on Tuesday, will I be going chalk here on this program?
Well, Kyle, I have my notes. I have my, as per usual, my USA Today Sports Weekly for the stats, and I have my binder full of women. You throw it up, I slam it down.
I think it's federally mandated that any sort of podcast or just any sort of media, just anything that could be loosely be considered media, has to make some sort of binders full of women reference here this week. It's unbelievable. But I'll tell you what, you talk about doing your homework. Yeah, it's been a good start in the NFL this year. A lot of the contrarian bets are winning right now. I'm trying to steer you away. Hopefully by – it's week seven now. I'm hoping by around week 11 or week 12, okay, I'm going to steer you away from those nasty road favorites that you like so much, okay? And by the way, imagine how good my overall record could be. I mean, you talk about the 16-7-1 with my recommended picks.
Yeah.
I've been doing pretty well. I think I'm north of, you know, been staying above water just overall every week. I'll take, imagine how good I'd be doing if I didn't take the Chiefs every damn week, okay?
Yeah.
I'm giving up on them officially now, by the way. They won't lose, though, this week.
Pretty
I can
easy
tell you
for
that.
You. It's a bye week.
They won't lose this week. But, you know, we're doing the homework here, and there's a few things I wanted to reference here.
Okay.
One, we've been saying this, I think, all year, every week. Just, you know, this is what we do in the tout industry. We keep repeating ourselves over and over again. You know, that's just what you do. And plus, you know, me, Ricky, personally, I've got some long and short-term memory issues, but that's a different podcast for a different day.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Despite all the uncertainty we've seen in the NFL this year, I still am steadfast in believing that when you look at the turnover among playoff teams from last year to this, it's going to be among the lowest since the format was realigned in 1990. I think we talked about that in our preview show there. Since the playoff format took its current form in 1990, which six teams per conference with the two byes. Obviously, there's been a minor change. Now there's four, you know, what was it, 2002, they went to four divisions instead of three per conference, but that didn't affect the playoffs really at all. The playoff seedings, there were still two byes. There's never been less than four returnees among playoff teams, never more than eight. I still think we're going to hit around eight this year. I really do. Another thing I wanted to hit on before we get into this week's games, NFC versus AFC. You and I were on top of this, I know, when we did the previews, the divisional previews before the season. We said that other than New England and Houston, I think were the two that we agreed on, we wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year the rest of the top 10 in the league was made up of NFC teams. It looks like it's going that way. There's only two. This is unbelievable. This to me is the stat of the week. Entering week seven, there are two teams in the AFC with a winning record. They'll be playing each other, by the way, this week, Houston and Baltimore.
Yeah.
I have a recommended pick on that game. Spoiler alert. Yeah. It's waned a little bit during the week, if that helps you which way I can go.
We may concur on this.
Okay. And then the last point I want to make, and this is the big one. I told you I had a rant saved up on me. Hopefully I remembered some of it.
But okay.
As I was sitting on the couch Sunday night, the results had all come in. This was kind of towards the end of the actually, it was after all the 4 o'clock games were over. It was very apparent that Green Bay was going to beat Houston. Hats off to you. You were on that one. I wasn't. I just kind of threw my hands up and just yelled, holy regression to the mean, NFL. I mean, if you look at the standings, you have an AFC East. Every team's 3-3. And what I wanted to talk about before we get into the individual games is kind of how to evaluate teams from here on out.
Okay.
There are teams that I've referenced in the past when we've done this on a week-by-week basis, like the Jets and Dallas. Those are obviously two of the more public teams in the league. They have larger fan bases, you know, probably over-talked about. I don't know if overrated, but certainly over-talked about. Mm-hmm. I think there's a difference. Where I've always said you want to play against the previous week's result because those fan bases are kind of quick. They win. Oh, we're, you know, Dallas beats the Giants opening night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the Cowboys are so great. This is going to be the year. What do they do the next week? They get killed by Seattle.
What have they done since, by and large?
Well, that's true. We'll get to more on that in this program.
Okay.
You have the Jets. Oh, they stink. They're the worst. What did they do last week? I know you were wrong on this. I was wrong on this one. Of course they beat the Colts. Who? It's interesting that the Colts, playing into that theory, coming off the emotional win for Coach Chuck Pagano. They beat Green Bay. You knew they couldn't match that intensity. Now, they really laid an egg. Andrew Luck played terrible. But the Jets kill him 35-9.
Running that really awful Bruce Arians, Arians Nation offense.
Yeah, okay. Well, Ben Roethlisberger wishes he had Bruce Arians back, by the way. But I think that more than ever, and this is true for almost every team in the league, you're going to want to play against last week's results. If a team... Now, you need to have a good gauge on what a team is. If you think a team is really good and if you really believe in a team and they maybe had an off week or a funky loss, don't be afraid of them the next week.
Okay.
I really think that's important. And I know you don't like this guy, so I hesitate to bring up his name. You know who he is because I would be referencing him before the show.
I'll be
Colin
civil.
Coward.
Okay.
He brought something up, and he often does when he talks about the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Who, oh, by the way, won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
That when you evaluate a team, and he even extends this into life, which I kind of – and I'm inclined to agree with him. I'm inclined to see what your take is. I know, because I know you don't agree with him mostly, but mm-hmm. or if at all. But yeah, I think you might agree with
this. Well, I'm not a troll, so
okay.
There's a key differential.
Okay. Well, you know, you've seen my work on Facebook. Okay, by the way, speaking of Facebook, your buddy Joel Lindway, okay, needless to say, his political points, not exactly – through the uprights. Thank you very much.
Our old Sports Talk Network pal, Joe Lindway. Here's to you, Joey.
Okay, what's he? Oh, boy. Okay, talk about wide right, okay? I mean, Scott Norwood's got nothing on this guy. All right? But anyway, he was wide right. Yeah, it was. Norwood was wide right. Okay. But that was good. I came up with that wide right on the fly, by the way.
Outstanding.
But the rest of this is very contrived. that you want to look at a team's ceiling. Colin Coward always says. And the Giants, yeah, they'll lose to some terrible team they should never lose to some weeks. But when they're at their best like they were last week, whoa. They ran over the Niners.
Yep.
In a way. And that there's teams, see, people get mad, and you're one of them, I think, when, you know, the ESPNs, I'm pointing at my TV and no one can see this because we're on the radio, but because ESPN's on, of course.
Yes.
And
loving the gimmick.
A team like the Cowboys and the Eagles that get talked about despite their persistent mediocrity.
When the Giants are better than both of them.
Okay, but here's the thing.
But the Giants aren't exciting. They don't move the needle.
Oh, by the way, I knew in a week that we've lost it, two of the greats, Derek Jeter and Ray Lewis, to injury. We were long overdue for a who's going to move the needle cha-cha from Rick Morris. But you know why the Cowboys and Eagles are talked about so much? There's actually a lot of valid reasons, whether you want to admit them or not.
Self-reinforcing media hype?
That's very low on the list.
Okay.
Because their ceilings, I believe, are actually quite high. When they play well...
They'll never hit those ceilings.
You're right. And the way that the American sports culture is, it's always fascinating, why can't they? But so much in society that people want to focus and you know, I'm not picking any. Trust me, I have friends who do this way more. Always want to pick on, like, the negatives, like the low points of something. Like Curt Schilling, for instance. I came to this because I was watching baseball tonight last night. Curt Schilling comes on TV. What is the blogosphere going to point out when they see Curt Schilling?
About his company going bankrupt?
Exactly. But guess what? The guy, and I'm just speaking of the guy's life, okay? He's also won a World Series two times, okay? Yes, he obviously ran a very terrible video game company. It doesn't make him a bad guy.
He's got a pretty good record on political endorsements.
Okay, maybe he does stink after all. Okay, but you know, even something, let's make it very topical, like Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
You know, is what he did wrong? Yeah, but for me, at the end of the day, if you raise a lot of money for something serious like cancer, you know,
you got people who believe in a fraudulent basis.
That is true. That is true. And look, we don't want to go way off the tracks. But I'm just saying that you don't want to focus. Like, too many times, you know, this even goes in music. You know, like, I'll say I like some band. And be like, oh, you know, like, I'll say, like, Pearl Jam, for instance. I'm just using them because they're my favorite band. People are like, oh, that Riot Act album was really good. It's like, okay, yeah, they made a bad album in a 20-year career. But guess what? What about 10? What about Versus? What about Vitalogy?
Right.
They have a ceiling. They can sell out and rock Madison Square Garden. You know who can't? The Toon Yards. Okay?
Right.
That's one of these indie groups the kids are listening to. I saw the lost look in your eye.
Yeah, I was lost.
So, to me, so many people, you know, if I were to come on here and say the New England Patriots are better than the Atlanta Falcons, which they might be, there is a portion of the sports fan that would be mad. Oh, what are you, an idiot? The Patriots are 3-3. The Falcons are 6-0. Again, look at the ceiling. People, I think, today are because they don't like the wild swings, are just prone, oh, well, they're never, the Falcons are never bad. But are they ever really elite? And I, look, you remember when I called the Falcons the pavement of the NFL?
Yeah.
They're like a critics band.
Yeah.
They don't do anything wrong, but where's the, you know.
They haven't lost a game yet this year.
That's true, but where, I mean, and look, we're
they
far away.
Style points.
0 playoff wins.
True.
In
true.
This,
they've
in this
they've
run.
Stunk in the playoffs.
Oh, they have.
They have.
Okay.
They have.
And now they run into the hot team always. But again,
right.
Teams with higher ceilings that came in with worse one loss records. The Packers, the Giants. Do those teams. We saw with the Packers. Okay,
yeah.
So they were 2-3. But man, did they look good Sunday night against a Houston, Texas team that was undefeated. But is their ceiling as high as Green Bay's? I'm not sure. All I'm saying is, week to week, a team could just have a stinker,
okay?
You know, I'm not saying, you know, the Giants are the greatest thing ever since sliced bread right now. More on that in this program.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that what made me think of this, the impetus for this, was when you said, I only think there's 8 teams that can win the Super Bowl. I'm not ready to go there yet.
Okay. Because
there could be some team out there that we just are kind of looking at as mediocre right now or also ran that just gets red hot. Look at the last 2 Super Bowl champions, Giants, Green Bay. Got into the playoffs the last week of the year.
Okay.
And just were the hottest team. That, you know, so many times people, again, with music, I always like to troll some of my friends with music that, you know, they bring, oh, this album is so good, you have to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll listen to it. This really applies, I think, to this indie rock all the kids listen to. And I'll say, well, this is a fine album. There's no bad songs. I mean, where's the elite great song on it? You know what I'm saying? Like, me, I've talked about this with a friend of mine, Alan. You know, that he seems more content. He'll love an album that's just full of B-plus songs.
Right.
Oh, this album's so great. Not a weak track on here. Whereas me, I'll tolerate that occasional C song if you give me a bundle of A's. You know, people hit double album. For instance, the White Album came up. Boy, are we getting veering off course here, okay? He's like, oh, you know, this, because I told him, you know, because, of course, he's in that hipster contingent, Revolver's the best Beatles album.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, he's like, oh, the second, and I like the White Album, personally.
Okay.
I'm a double album kind of guy. He's like, well, the second half of that, you know, the second disc is among the weakest they've ever done. And he goes, okay, well, maybe that's fine, but here's my point. What about the beginning? What about Dear Prudence, Glass Onion, you know, the continuing story of Bungalow Bill, Rocky Raccoon, you know, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. So why am I making this point? Yeah, okay. There might be a team you could say, oh, they stink. They lost to so-and-so. So what? The Giants, if they lose to Jacksonville, I don't even think they play this year. But but say, who cares? They can go in and just house a team like the Niners on the road. They're still good. So that's just all I'm saying. Be careful not to focus on the negative, not just in football, but in life.
Okay. All right.
That was
as
that
far
rant.
As it goes musically, too. I can't really weigh in on that. I'm more of a Stones guy than a Beatles guy.
Okay.
On that here.
I like
and
them both.
As far as when you're talking about high points here, you know, as far as albums go, so what you're saying is we need more teams, we need more things in life like 1981's Moving Pictures. I would agree with that.
Well, I believe that was the album of the year that particular year.
That was. It deservedly so.
But no, I'm just saying that, you know, people are so drawn to people that don't do anything wrong. Like, look. You ready? You ready for me to move the needle here?
Okay.
I've had some very low moments. You know me well.
Okay.
I've had some low moments in life. I don't think that I'm a bad person because I think I've done a lot of good. Just because you do one bad thing or a team does one bad thing, don't write them off completely.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
It,
that's all just because, just like too many times people are, oh, well, they don't do anything wrong, so they must be good.
I wish there was a certain blonde lady who was more persuadable on that point.
Yes,
but
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You, just because you don't do anything wrong, like the Falcons may not do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And that's great. They're 6-0. They're a fine team.
Right.
They're going to be there. I think they'll win a playoff game this year. I think they'll do some things. But just because they don't do anything wrong doesn't mean they're the best. I think that's really key to note on a week-to-week basis. That and playing against results. And I don't know if that soliloquy made any sense.
That
but
does.
God, did I entertain myself for about a half an hour on Tuesday when I texted you when I was going through this rant.
That was very good. By the way, last musical note, I understand that Bruce Springsteen has put up his political recommendations on his website.
Oh, good.
BruceSpringsteen.net. Okay? I don't think we should be taking recommendations on the economy from somebody running a .net website. You know, if you can't get the rights to your own namesake.com, spice it up, man. Make it Rosalita.org or something. You know what I mean? Got to kayfabe the people if you can't get your own site going.
Look, just because you don't like any of the recommendations doesn't mean you need to demean
the
man. I
also don't think he's had a good album since
here you go. There you go. There you go. So he stinks, right? Well, forget about the first 10 years of his career.
I did like the Tunnel of Love album. I'm like one of three people in America that did. I actually thought it was very good. I love the look on your face. You look beyond constipated right now.
Tunnel of Love.
That was a great album, actually. It had a number of great tracks.
Dear God.
We all kind of relate to things from our own youth, but yeah, I mean, that was a great album.
I don't want to hear about your Tunnel of Love. I'll tell you that much. Let's talk about some football here. Let's get into the games.
Let's do
But no, here's a perfect example, though, because I'm not playing the third. I just want to breeze by it here.
Yep.
You know, by the way, Thursday, all I've done the last 3 weeks is give out the dog, and they've won outright the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
And the Browns cashed. I've loved the Thursday game the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Not this week.
Right.
I think that's too high of a number. But at the same time, what did I talk about playing off previous week's results?
Right.
Seattle riding high off the upset of New England. 49ers, arguably their worst showing in the Jim Harbaugh era, losing at home to the Giants. I'm inclined to go Niners as a result of what I saw last week.
Yeah.
But that number's a little too high, so I don't like the Thursday game. Now, I don't know if it's up there yet. We were talking before the show.
Yeah, I tweeted it. Everybody is obviously hearing this after the fact with that game. San Francisco went from 9 to 7 that they're laying during the course.
By the way, I've seen it's gone back up to 9.
Oh, all right.
By the way, too. So a lot of people.
Late money on San Fran, then. All the more reason I'm taking San Fran.
Okay, I'm staying off that one. I did, hopefully maybe your Twitter followers can see it. I do, and it'll be after the fact if you're listening to this. Oregon in college tonight. I definitely like them laying a number that's coming down against Arizona State. Dennis Erickson, the next time he wins a big game, will be the first.
I put that up, so if people were checking out our Twitter feed on Thursday, as they should all 7 days of the week, then they would have seen
and
that.
And that Twitter feed, just for
so
people.
It is twitter.com/theFDHLounge, and the T F, D, H, and L are capitalized. I don't know if that makes a difference.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
I don't think it does. There's that little search thing, too, you can always
That's
do
true,
at
yeah.
FDH Lounge.
At the FDH Lounge. As far as the Sunday games go, first one out the box here, Buffalo laying 3 at home against Tennessee. We got a lot of teams in this mediocre bell curve that are playing one another this week. This is like the poster child for those games. That line, I believe, has been right about 3 the entire week.
Yeah, they're not going to want a key number like 3. I would be shocked if it got moved off, because if it goes to 2.5, the Sharps are going to come in on the Bills. If it goes to 3.5, they'll move in on the Titans.
I'm running a risk here in recycling some winning logic from last week, because I understand that this doesn't work all the time. But, again, I'm already copping to it. I don't have a great feel for hardly any of these games this week. And looking at this one, I'm going to go back to my logic from the Miami and St. Louis game last week. I don't think either one of these teams is good enough to win on the road. I'll take the Bills to cover the 3.
This is actually – I'm making 4 – I'm stepping out with 4 recommendations instead of just 3 this week. This is one of them, and it is the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
As you know – before the year, I picked the Bills to make the playoffs. There have been various times this year where that has looked like an atrocious pick. Now, I wasn't the only one
who picked Tennessee, and that is an atrocious pick.
Here's the thing. Tennessee, by the way, I gave them out last week. Oh, by the way, outright winner Thursday night, part of my 3-0 sweep with recommended picks, beat the Steelers at home.
Yep.
The Titans, though, we have not only bought of the teams who have won on Thursday night this year, only Baltimore, who had beaten Cleveland, has been able to translate that into the 2 Sundays, because, obviously they've got the long left, and win again the following week. And Baltimore, they only won a very pedestrian 9-6 effort against Kansas City, keep in mind. So I think Tennessee is a letdown off the long layoff, and the Bills really need this game. A win here gets them to 4-3, guarantees them no worse than a first-place tie in the AFC East, and they also have got road games against Houston and New England coming up. the Titans, boy, their defense is not very good. I don't know how they beat the Steelers last week, but I'm going Buffalo. Not, I don't think they'll blow them out, but I definitely like the Bills to cover the 3 points.
Other notes here, too. Jake Locker expected to return, so it's not even the continuity of Tennessee's offense of what they had against Pittsburgh. It's going to be back to Jake Locker.
I kind of like the Bills, but I like that we talked about this in the short term. I like the Titans less with Jake Locker in there.
I agree. I think that's part of it.
I'd also like to say Buffalo, kudos to them. I watched I was somehow able to twist my girlfriend's arm into getting DirecTV. And I actually got a chance to watch the Buffalo-Arizona game pretty extensively.
Okay.
Kudos to them for winning that game, because I was convinced that, you know, I had the Bills last week, and it was going to be they were clearly going to cover because they were getting more than a field goal. But they played this game so poorly at the end last week, Ricky. They were up 3, 16-13, and they incomprehensibly had Brad Smith out of the Wildcat throw a 40-yard pass that was intercepted. Feeley hits the 60-yard field goal to tie it and force overtime. And you're just like, oh, boy. The way the Cardinals have been doing things this year, the way the Bills, their history, Arizona's clearly going to win this game. They didn't. I think that that's a bit. Buffalo, I said they'd get off to a slow start. But if you're listening to this, look at their back half of their schedule, folks. They'll probably be 4-5 after losses to Houston and New England, but they can easily make it 9-7, and that's all it's going to take for a wild card in this conference.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's also a revenge game for Buffalo if you go back 12 years, and the Music City forward lateral.
Okay, yeah, yes. Buffalo. Last time the Bills were in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. And as you said, a chance to snap that streak in the execrable AFC this year. Next game up here. 4-2 Arizona at 4-2 Minnesota, but don't let the records fool you.
What I was saying, ceilings. Are these teams' ceilings really that high?
This is the one where, and I'm going to, in a little tribute here, to one of the key behind-the-scenes advisors to FDH, my best friend Jeff Maslanich here, a tune that he and I both like to use to mock people. Arizona and Minnesota, they had joy, they had fun, they had seasons in the sun. It's over. It is all over with them. In this one
here, someone's got to win.
Someone's
going to be 5-2.
Somebody's going to. And I'm telling you right now, that's not going to matter. Minnesota's laying 6 at home, up from 4.5 where it started earlier in the week. By the way, the best manifestation of that song ever was he and I were in a scratch league. We were bowling league, that is. We were mocking a couple of these old guys who were complaining about the shot, and he adapted it to, they had joy, they had fun, their 200 days are done.
Oh, I like it,
it. In this one here, at 6, this is a thing where, again, and this is maybe too simplistic, too reductionist, whatever, I don't think Minnesota's 6 points better than Arizona. I'm taking the points.
Wow, some early agreement from us here. This is also one of my 4 recommendations. And this may be my favorite pick of the week turning into, because I love the line move. Love Arizona plus the points here. This is a game, I don't care if it was being played in Arizona, Minnesota, Broadview Heights, or Timbuktu, okay? I'm taking the team that's getting points. Now, I know on this program, I think it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, I said I liked Minnesota better than Arizona. I've had a chance to watch both of these teams. Minnesota has a little bit of that San Francisco from last year to them, where the quarterback, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, they're fine. They can rely on running the ball and defense. But you're right. You nailed it on the head. Minnesota is not this many points better than Arizona. These are two teams that I like them as dogs, but both hate them. Whoever's favored in this game, I'd go the other way.
Yeah.
Because I just think they're... Well, I think Minnesota's slightly better than Arizona and could definitely win this game at home. They're not this much better than Arizona. I mean, Arizona this year, it's interesting. 3-0 against the spread, 3-0 straight up as a dog, as a favorite, 0-3 ATS, 1-2 straight up.
Yep.
So, I mean, the Cardinals are always involved in close games. So I really like the Cardinals plus the points.
Yeah, I'm calling it again. Neither one of these two dog teams makes the playoffs. They're done.
Yeah,
stick a fork in them.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough game for, I think, you know, John Q. Walmart, so to speak, because one team's going to be 5-2.
Right.
But I'm with you that here's the thing. Minnesota's in a tough division, very tough division. And Arizona, I've looked at it, they're the opposite of Buffalo. And you think after this great run, you know, you hear, oh, they're 11-2 their last 13 games, best record in the league. What's the key here, Rick? Regression to the mean.
Yep.
They are going to, if you look at the back half of their schedule,
yep.
It's tough. They're in a tougher division than expected. So I'm with you. It doesn't matter who wins this game. I don't think either makes the playoffs myself.
Neither one of them does. The aforementioned battle here, the only winning teams in the AFC, the 5-1 Ravens at the 5-1 Texans. Houston went from laying 4.5 earlier in the week to 6.5 on this one. By the way, a very shameful thing as far as the media. Shame on CBS for putting their A team on the Patriots and the Jets because they move the needle. The A team should be on this game here, Ravens and Texans. Two of the three teams in the AFC that, for my money, have a chance to make the Super Bowl. Yeah, the Patriots do, but they're playing the irrelevant New York Jets.
Oh, nothing's irrelevant about the Jets. We'll talk about that game with the charisma of Tim Tebow, even from the side. But anyway.
I like Baltimore. I like the points in this one, the way the line move is gone. I'm going with the dog.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We need to touch on what's I know you don't like storylines, but let's talk about it here. The key storyline here is the injuries on the defensive side of the ball with Baltimore.
Yep.
Ray Lewis, one of the all-time great competitors.
Yeah, that's a shame.
One of the all-time great guys. God, I hope he comes back and just so passionate like he can always be.
Channel my best Seinfeld one more time. That's a shame.
You got to be ashamed of yourself. You should try rooting for people for a change. But I loved, just before the line came out,
yeah.
Houston obviously laid their a real egg last week at home against Green Bay. Baltimore has been really shaky. I think they're overrated, Baltimore.
Okay.
And so my initial lean, this was going to be my favorite game of the week. I love Houston in this spot.
Okay.
The problem is, and it's still, because I made a mistake 2 weeks ago when, because of a line move, I took Miami. I didn't make Miami a high recommendation over Cincinnati. They wound up winning that game outright. I'm going to stick to my original guns despite the line move and take Houston. I don't see them losing back-to-back games at home. I am worried about the line move. They've never beaten Baltimore in franchise history. But Baltimore is 0-4 against their number their last four games. Now, granted, they've been favored in all those games, but, I mean, look at it. 1-point win over New England, 7-point win over Cleveland, 3-point win over Kansas City, Kyle, and 2-point win over Dallas. They've been living – I think Houston – I love them at 4.5. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have unloaded on them before the injury news came in. But I'm still going to stick to my guns. Don't like them as much as I did at 4.5 as they are now at 6.5, but I'll stick with Houston.
Not a recommended play, though?
It is a recommended play.
Oh, it is. All right.
This
all
is
right.
One of my four. But we're starting out right there, three out of the box.
And the funny thing is, I told you I was going again mostly favorites this week, and I've been going mostly dogs thus far. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So, again, Kyle. Following the public here, good old Sam Square.
Oh, very rare. I realize it. I realize they're going to win this game by 5, but that's okay. I'm going to redeem myself, by the way, on Sam Square on the next game. I know we're disagreeing on the next game.
You think
the next game has Rick Morris versus Kyle Ross disagreement all over it.
About Green Bay St. Louis?
Yes.
All right. This is a very interesting discussion here. All right. Yeah. Green Bay is at St. Louis. Green Bay. Classic road dog here in this one, or road favorite, I should say. They're weighing 6 up from 5.5 thus far. Green Bay looking like just a complete juggernaut last week, justifying my pick to beat Houston in the Super Bowl. Green Bay looks like they're back.
Oh,
they got it going
Ricky,
on.
No.
Having said all of that,
wait a minute.
They win, but I like the points in this one. St. Louis getting 6 at home. They've already fooled me a few times this year when I've gone against them. St. Louis in a back door getting the 6 at home.
I don't know if it'll pick this up or not, but
okay.
Let me do this. Let me try to do this here.
little
podcast history here.
Okay.
Let me put the microphone down and see if it picks it up.
Very good. Very good.
Yes, better
than a slow clap or a golf clap, yeah. I guess.
St. Louis is absolutely the play here.
Okay.
This is me coming off the square and back to the sharp. I've heard here, this was courtesy of Chad Millman, who does a pretty good job.
Uh-huh.
80% of the money of the wagering mm-hmm. is on Green Bay in this game
okay.
from the public, yet the number hardly moved.
Okay.
I mean, it only moved today. It's been at 5.5 all week.
Okay.
And it just moved to 6 today. So.
Okay.
Why is that? Because I see you're giving me, how can that be? Because the sharps mm-hmm. are on St. Louis, and they bet more. You know, here's the thing. The $50 and $100 wagers are all on Green Bay. Those dime players, you know, they're all on St. Louis. The Rams have not lost at home, oh, by the way, this year, including what's looking like a pretty impressive win over Seattle, who beat Green Bay. Obviously, on the road, or that was in Seattle, pardon me. But the Rams, very good defensive team, played tough. They gained almost – this was astounding. I didn't know this until about 2 hours ago. They gained almost 500 yards total offense last week, and Miami only scored 14 points.
Well, I mean, things have been a little bit erratic without Danny Amendola, but again, Bradford's a keeper.
Here's the thing. I looked. I was like, oh, okay, they must have had like five turnovers or something. Mm-hmm. They only had one.
Just that means you're moving the ball. You're just not able to capitalize. You're not doing much in the red zones. 20 to 20, you're doing okay.
Even the kicker, though, the only one kick he missed was that stupid 66-yarder they went for when Fisher didn't decide. You know, Jeff Fisher and Jason Garrett, by the way.
Yeah.
Nice coaching, guys.
Yeah.
But no, St. Louis is Green Bay has actually not won back-to-back games all year.
Okay.
And this is also their third consecutive road game. That's a tough spot. Pardon me. That was my
fault.
Yeah,
no problem.
I like St. Louis to keep this one close. Another reason I like this one, too, is you're going to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like a couple of the road favorites this week.
Oh, okay.
So I have to go on principle alone, St. Louis here.
Okay, yeah, and that was I didn't even know about the way that the bettors were regarding this until we were talking on the air here. It's a thing where, again, I had this down. I really went back and forth on this, but kind of on the way over here, I thought to myself, I'm taking St. Louis. Having said that, you were so sure I was going the other way. That's where I had to pimp you like I was going in that direction. I was like, I'm going to pimp
Kyle.
I'm impressed with you.
Let's see if we can make it two in a row here. Well, let's see what we can.
I don't think we are on this next one here.
Okay.
Dallas is at Carolina. Dallas is laying two up from one earlier on. And you have long preached that be careful of those short road favorites and be careful under those circumstances. You know what? Carolina's just so bad right now. I realize they've had the extra time. They got to show me at this point. They got to show me that they can do it. I think they're already out of it in the NFC. Dallas, I do not think will make the playoffs, but at 3-3, they at least stay at the periphery of the conversation. I regard them as the only team of the two that still has anything tangible to play for, even with just the one game differential between them, like Dallas laying the two on the road.
It is a short number. This is the first of, Green Bay is the only sizable road favorite. The other three road favorites are all 3 points or less.
Right.
But you know the Dallas Cowboys are 4-18 against the spread with laying points.
Wow.
That is horrid. And you know what the great irony is of the coaching change from Wade Phillips to Jason Garrett?
Okay.
The coaching might be worse now. Everyone said, oh, that was Dallas's problem. Wade Phillips, Peter Principal, he's a defensive coordinator in head coach's clothing. You know what? Jason Garrett might be worse because this we can say about Wade Phillips. He's a very good defensive coordinator.
Yes.
He's proved that in Houston. He's worked previous wonders in Buffalo and San Diego and some other stops.
Yep.
Denver. What a Jason Garrett, he was never a great offensive coordinator, and he's apparently a terrible head coach. I almost laid off this game because, speaking of terrible coaches, I don't know where Ron Rivera ranks on that list, but I think it's pretty high. But it boils down
to this.
Another
great coordinator, though.
Yeah, it boils down to this for me. Two things. Carolina coming off a bye week. Well, three things. Carolina coming off a bye week, the fact that I liked Carolina before the year, and Dallas's horrible record laying points. Even if it's a small number, give me Carolina plus two.
Let me get all Mark Laurentian on you, though. Dallas has won its last four regular season games at Carolina.
Wow. Yeah. What was the first one? When Carolina's like first game or something like that?
You look singularly unimpressed by
that. Yeah, no. I just think Carolina coming out of a bye, they're playing for their season, basically. I mean, the Cowboys, you could argue they are too, because you're right. I think Carolina's probably done anyway.
Yeah,
I think they are. I mean, if they lose this, it could get real ugly.
I think it's about to. I think it's going to. This is going to be a very, very tough year in Carolina, given what the expectations
were. By the way, Ron Rivera, he took over a team that was obviously horrible, 1-15 2 years ago. Other than Cam Newton, what's changed with it? I misread them bad before the year. That was a shame on me. But other than Cam Newton, who has played poorly, they don't have a lot, man.
No.
They just don't. And it was funny because I guess maybe a lot of it can be attributed to garbage time last year. But they've regressed this year. They outgained 12 of 16 opponents. They had leads in all but two games last year. They've just looked bad this year.
Well, again, you talk about when a player comes into the league like Cam Newton, teams adjust, then you have to counter-adjust on them. I think the same could be said on a macro level of the Panthers. Teams that kind of caught on to what they were doing, and they have to prove they can counter-adjust for what teams think is going to be coming their way. This next one is going to be very interesting. This is the A game on Fox here this week with Brenneman in for Buck doing the baseball. Brenneman, Troy Aikman, and the delectable Pam Oliver working the sidelines for the 4-2 Giants playing the 3-3 Redskins. And this is one where the line has gone from the Giants laying 7 to laying 5.5. Not quite sure what the basis for that would be. Perhaps people are looking into the fact that Washington has been deemed a tough matchup for the Giants inexplicably during
they
a horrible
them last
season
year,
last
yeah.
year, sweeping the Giants. See, I think that provides all the more impetus for a Giant team that I think is working things through, getting to the point of the season where they're starting to turn it around. I'm going to go, once again, against the way the money's going here, like the Giants laying the 5.5.
This is rare for me. It's two times, so I'm going to play with the line move. I think this is just slightly too many points. Well, the Giants are coming off a fantastic all-around showing last week in mm-hmm. San Francisco. Washington could score points. The only concern I have is this. The Giants, what was it? Was it last year, 2 years ago, they just started knocking quarterbacks out left and right?
Right.
RG3, and I'd like to apologize to him a little bit. You know, I still believe Andrew Luck long-term is going to be the much better pro. But he's pretty good, too. Let's be honest, man. That was an unbelievable performance last week against a Minnesota defense that had played well largely for the balance of the year. I just think that you're going to hear about that revenge angle so much, the double revenge angle for the Giants. Hey, revenge didn't help the Niners too well last week.
Right.
So I think the Redskins keep this one close, lose by a field goal.
This
RG3 backdoor cover. I'm a backdoor man. He might be singing Light My Fire. I don't know.
This does have like 34-30 written all
yeah,
over
it.
Yeah,
it does.
Secondaries or alleged secondaries,
yeah,
I think we could call them.
Yeah, Giants win a close one. They don't cover, though.
Yeah, that makes sense. The next one is a battle of a division that not long ago was arguably the best in football. Right about now, close to the worst, if not the worst, the NFC South. The 1-4 Saints versus the 2-3 Bucks at Raymond James Stadium here. Dick Stockton, John Lynch, and Jennifer Hale will have the privilege of calling this one.
I love how you always give off the announcers.
I do it from time to time here.
I like when you do that.
Okay, all right.
I enjoy that.
I can make more of a point of that. John Lynch, is it fair to have him calling a Bucks game?
I don't think it's fair. Well, it's never fair to have him calling any game if you're the listener. I mean, he's a little dry.
He's a little dry. Yeah. He's not exactly.
You know what's funny?
The
NFL's this great league, right? Well, I don't know. I don't know what's – that's a different podcast for a different day.
Uh-huh.
NFL announce – like your average NFL announce team on a Sunday, I find to be genuinely pretty bad.
They've purged some good ones. Why is Bill Moss not in there? I know like he had some legal problems, but he was a good announcer. Brian Baldinger. Give me Brian Baldinger.
Of course you pick them. Of course you pick like the worst people.
Oh, come on. They were good announcers.
You know who I like?
What?
I always like that Tony Siragusa viewpoint from the sideline. I'm kidding. He's hideous.
He is. Apologies to Kenny Albert, a friend of the show, but I can't listen to the goose.
Yeah. But to this game, I'm going to surprise you right here.
Okay.
Let's go road favorite. I'm going to tell you why. The Saints.
So am I, yeah. The Saints win
this
three.
Is,
I like
this
it.
This is my fourth, and it's even come down to two in some shops, which
okay.
I really like. This is my fourth of four recommendations this week.
Okay.
So to recap, because they were early, Buffalo
yeah.
is a recommendation. Houston's a recommendation. Arizona's a recommendation. Arizona, the only dog in the group. I love New Orleans here. Coming off a bye.
Yep.
I just think that, look, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to be able to dig out of the 0-4 hole. But they're due to start winning some games.
I agree.
Yeah, things were ugly in that 0-4 start, but they weren't getting like blown out
right.
or anything. I mean, they lost by 8 to Washington, 8 to Carolina, 3 to Kansas City, 1 at Green Bay. They did lose here in Tampa Bay last year, but – and the defense is cause for concern. It's funny, 2 weeks ago, I know you and I both really liked New Orleans in that Sunday night game against San Diego.
Yep.
And I'm watching the game – and I'm just, like, getting so mad at myself because I'm like, God, is this Saints defense horrible? And it's like, you knew that it was horrible when you went all in on them. But Tampa Bay, I just don't think has the firepower. As long as Drew Brees is careful with the ball and the Saints aren't turning it over, they should win this pretty handily.
I think so as well. And what I'm looking at after this, the Saints games that they have coming up, prime time against Denver.
Ooh.
Monday night prime time against Philadelphia. You got a game against Atlanta coming up after that that's going to be pretty heavily featured. In other words, it's funny because all the whiners down in NOLA that have the persecution complex about Roger Goodell, the league wants New Orleans to start winning some games here to make the ratings in those games worthwhile. Look for the refs to conveniently swallow their whistles on a few key holding calls here to benefit the Saints. They will win this going away.
See, I'm not sure about that because you have Stone Cold Jonathan Vilma threatening to take the field. Will Mr. Goodell show up randomly
Filthy
and
Luger
ring the bell?
Wins out overall.
Will he ring the bell on the Saints, perhaps?
No,
I don't know.
The networks are going to want the Saints to start winning, and the networks. I'm a conspiracy guy.
Good God.
The networks control.
You know why the Saints are going to win this game?
Why?
Because Tampa Bay stinks, okay?
How about that for
a conspiracy? Okay, the Bucks aren't very good.
Let's
keep
not
chopping wood, Greg Schiano.
Let's not forget that one. I think this is my first faux pas actually of the year of having done this where I got ahead of myself. That's one of my big three actually. I like to save the big three for the end, but yeah, I'm going.
Oh, it was.
We actually concur on this. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's rare. Usually, I never agree with the big three. Okay.
I think this is really
the Saints.
This might be the first time all year we have actually, and I agree to whatever extent with three of your four picks, which probably means you're due to start taking a Nikeister here.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay. That's no good.
We'll see how that goes. Next up here is the alleged A game on CBS.
Oh God,
three and three
storylines. The markets.
3-3 Patriots. New England is laying 11 down from 10.5.
It's bounced 10.5, 11 all week.
It's a thing where if the odds makers and the public were looking that much at last week, you'll look at New England with a tough loss, and you'll look at the Jets with, I don't think anybody in their right mind could call it any kind of serious redemption, but that's going to be the perception, is that they've redeemed themselves to get back to 3-3 here. A little surprised the line's as high as it is. I'm going against the perception that would inflate the line that high. I think New England's going to win, but this has got backdoor written all over it to me. I think particularly when you look at the really horrible New England pass defense here. I think Sanchez can get enough to make
it. But, how about that horrible quarterback for the Jets?
I could see this. At a 10.5 line, that hook is going to do it. I'm seeing like 27-17 Pats, so I say take the points.
I'm going to surprise you again. I'm going to surprise you a lot this week.
Okay.
Lay them.
Really?
This has all the makings of an FU game from Bill Belichick. Look, the Patriots, I know last week you called the Eagles, the worst 3-2 team in history?
Yeah.
By the way, spoiler alert,
mm-hmm.
I love them next week against Atlanta. That's going to be – just book that one already.
All right.
Remember, a few weeks ago, I said book – I gave you a spoiler alert with the Browns over the Bengals, outright winner. I think the Falcons are going to be a home dog in that game, and they're going to win.
Okay.
But, no, this has – the Patriots for 3-3 could easily be 6-0.
Okay.
I think they are going to tap to a Jets team that can't keep up. I think they're just going to keep – they're just going to ramp up the snaps, and I would not be surprised to see this one reminiscent of that Monday night game from a couple years ago where they beat them like 45-3 and they just kept scoring at the end. I think the Patriots are going to run up the score.
That is entirely possible. Yeah, I think we'll probably know well.
What do I say about the Jets? You always want to play against their previous week's result. They looked good last week. Guess what? They'll stink this week.
Well, I think we'll know before halftime what kind of a game it is. I think if it's any kind of a game at halftime, I'm going to be right. But if you're
the Pats were in control,
but if you're right, it'll be like 24-3 at halftime.
Yeah. So yeah, if the Patriots do wind up covering it, it's not even close. You will not have to worry about a backdoor.
This next game is one that I'm offended that we have to talk about on general principle because these are NFL teams in name only. The 1-4 Jags at the 1-4 Raiders at Ocho Coliseum in Oakland here. Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts are going to have to sit through this.
How appropriate.
Who did they wrong in a past life to have to sit through this
abortion? You listen to Dan Fouts' commentary.
That's true. Yeah. He wasn't the water boy. He did bring that down.
Yeah.
Might have won an Oscar if it hadn't been for him. But I'm looking at this here again. I pretty much resolutely am just not going to go with Jacksonville. For the first time all year, I've moved the Browns out of 32 in my NFL power rankings into positive Jacksonville.
I have them that I made that move a couple weeks ago.
You did. Again, this is Jacksonville beating anybody on the road. I think not, and I'm not going to look for the back door with a 4-point spread here. Oakland's going to win, probably by 7-10 points, if not more.
The Raiders?
This boils down to two things for me. Jacksonville's off a bye, and the Raiders are favored.
Yeah.
Give me Jacksonville.
Really?
Yeah, as much as I think Jacksonville – the Raiders cannot be laying points. Like, there is no way I'm laying points with the Oakland Raiders. I don't care if this game is in Al Davis's backyard.
Courtesy of USA Today Sports Weekly, heading into their bye, the Jaguars ranked last in offensive yardage gained, last in passing yardage gained, 30th in defensive yardage allowed, last in points scored, and 24th in points allowed. Outside of that, they're not doing so bad.
Yeah, they stink. Raiders have been, last time they were favored, they were actually a road favorite at Miami in week two. I gave out the Dolphins. I couldn't bet them quick enough. The Raiders lost that game 35-13. The only thing that's going to keep them in it in this one is it's home. And keep in mind, the Raiders are off that tough loss to Atlanta last week.
Yeah.
I just think the Raiders could win this one by a field goal and not cover.
Raiders with the back door, one of my few winners from last week here. And again, not often do I go against Atlanta.
What are the Raiders as a favorite, I wonder? I'm going to look that up here right now.
All right. We'll get the old Lorentzian database fired up here on the Raiders' past history and what they've done. While you're doing that, we'll get to this when you find it here. We get to our Monday nighter. It is the 2-3 Lions at the 4-1 Bears. Mike Tirico, John Gruden, Lisa Salters on
you're
this
going
one
with the
here.
Announcers again.
Why is Lisa Salters on that call? I've never quite understood that. Never really been, my cup of tea vis-a-vis sideline announcers. But that's another story for another time, I suppose. Chicago is laying 6.5 on this one. I understand it had bounced down to 5 and now back up to 6.5. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you what, this for me is a game that I'm passing on.
Okay. I don't blame you.
This is probably...
It's a hard one.
It just is because the Bears are off that bye.
Yeah.
And I like them to win, but... And look, I think the Bears are going to win the division, by the way, over the Packers. I'm going to say it right now.
They got a head start on them here, record-wise.
They have a head start, and keep in mind, they're playing a third-place schedule.
Packers are leading on a tiebreaker, though.
Well, they still have one more to go, so the
one
Bears can negate that.
Yeah.
It's late in the year, too, I believe. And it will be in Chicago, too.
Yeah.
It'll be in Chicago. The Bears are playing a third-place schedule. The Packers have that first-place schedule, too.
It's only a two-game differential, though.
Yeah, but keep in mind the third-place teams in the NFC from last year compared to the first-place teams.
That's true.
So if you look at the schedules, Green Bay's got a lot of tough games.
They do.
The Bears don't. The Bears, I think, could be 7. If I looked at the schedule and remember correctly, I think I have them at 7-1. So look for them to win. I don't like Detroit. They were really lucky to beat Philadelphia last week. But they could hang around.
I like Chicago to cover. It's a thing. I'm actually going back to a piece of advice that you'd given me on this, which is if you're counting on a team to backdoor, and I understand you're not making a play here, right? So you're not going against your own advice, but you should have at least a sense, particularly when the line is this low. This isn't even approaching double digits. You should have a sense they could win the game. I don't have a sense the Lions can win this game, hence I will take the Bears.
True. Jim Schwartz stinks, by the way. I'd just like to say that again.
I think he was right to take offense to Jim Harbaugh's bad sportsmanship.
No, that's actually where he started stinking, to be honest with you. By the way, they were undefeated before that game. How's it gone ever since Jim Harbaugh? He slapped the coaching right out of him, I believe.
By the way, and I'm guessing that we can probably just paraphrase this, that the Raiders are poor as a favorite. Are we just going to leave it at that?
Yes. Oh, well, yeah. Well, I apologize because my internet all of a sudden didn't work. This is very bizarre what happened.
Okay.
Saw my lovely girlfriend walked in the door.
Okay.
And my Wi-Fi device must be turned on.
Okay.
And I picked it up. Like, all of a sudden, my internet went a little crazy.
Really?
It must be turned on. Well, you're not logged on to that.
I am. Yeah.
Well, you're logged on to my home internet is what you're logged into here.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, see, that was...
You have multiple Wi-Fi connections.
Yes, that was me. Yes, I have multiple, and I started connecting to them here, multiple here. Now we're all set.
What a peasant I am with only one home Wi-Fi
connection.
Yeah,
so here, let me look up Oakland's record as a favorite because the public demands it. Hold on one second here.
We'll do that. Meanwhile, I'll start to sum up here on the big three that We already got to one of them because for the first time all season here, I wasn't paying sufficient attention to my own handwriting. I meant to save the New Orleans game. Didn't realize I had the little check mark next to it here. So I've already given out one of my big three plays here. We like to finish on that note. Mm-hmm. So we've got one of those ones out of the way.
New Orleans. Oh, the Raiders, 4-7 against the number as a favorite. I thought it would be worse.
Going back to what? Like through your
last year? 3 years. Oh. Last 3 years. I don't think
they've only been favored 11 times in 3 years.
Oh, and you know what's funny? If you go back to like 05, I don't think they were favored at all.
Oh, man, do they suck. That's outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, again, if they weren't playing Jacksonville,
yeah.
I would be
Oh, yeah, there's very few
the
teams the Raiders
doubt.
Are going to be favored against.
Yeah, yeah, that's Jacksonville just sucks so much. I'm going to call them the exception to pretty much any rule. The other games here, we'll lead up to the one that is my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 7 and go with the other big three pick. Sunday night game, Pittsburgh laying 1.5 at Cincinnati here. Another one of these short road favorites here. 1.5 had been up to 2.5 at one point, had been one at one point here. Again, must-win game, I would say, for Pittsburgh, even in a very, very bad AFC. The Bengals at this point, 3-3, they're not going to be out of it with a loss. This is one where, again, I understand that there are some injuries defensively here that are undermining the Steelers. When you start looking at center Marquise Pouncey, when you look at everything with Polamalu and some of the situations that they're having there, Mendenhall, although I think he's going to be good to go as he has been the last couple weeks. But, boy, I'll tell you what, this Cincinnati team, Andy Dalton's starting to look a little lost, starting to force some bad throws here.
Yeah.
I do not trust Andy Dalton in a situation like this at home. Sam the Square laying the 1.5 on the road. I hate the Squealers even more than the Bengals, so I'm being intellectually honest here. But Pittsburgh covers the 1.5 on the road, says I.
Look, it's very rare that one of my four recommended picks this week, we actually have a rare overlap on a road favorite, no less, with the Saints. I actually like the Steelers as a road favorite here. Had they been a slight dog, this would have made a high recommend. This would have been a recommendation for me. As it's not, I'm just a slight lean to the Steelers. Look, they're terrible on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They're awful on the road. But they're also typically very good off a loss. And it's a short number. And considering the regression of both teams, look, remember what we said, AFC North preview, folks, go and check it. I predicted every team would win less games they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Baltimore is still in contention to disprove me, but it's clear Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are probably going to follow that trend.
Yep.
I think Pittsburgh just needs this game badly. I don't know. Pittsburgh is 2-3. Their last two losses to Oakland and Tennessee, I watched both those games and am not sure how they lost. It's one of those games that it's getting towards the end, and you're like, oh, my God, Pittsburgh's going to lose. They lost both on a last-second field goal. I just think Cincinnati's not good. I like what you said. I just think they're not good. The defense has regressed. You know, Andy Dalton's regressed a little bit. The defense has regressed. Steelers off a loss. Usually money. They were 9-0 against the spread off a loss before a non-cover against the Eagles 2 weeks ago. They missed the cover by like a point.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a shorter number, less than a field goal. Give me the Steelers.
I'm a big law of averages guy also. You talk about how the Steelers being bad on the road. Is like
they're due for a win. That's the thing.
Well, here's the thing. The location of the game has been destiny all 5 weeks of the season. They've won their two home games, lost their three road games. Can that happen 6 weeks in a row? I don't think so.
And take a look at some of the road games. Denver and Oakland, obviously, a little more than a hop, skip, and a jump from Pittsburgh. Tennessee, you know, you can't exactly walk there.
Right.
Okay. But Cincinnati, look, they won 2-6 on the road last year, I want to say.
Right.
Or something like that. One of their road wins, where was it? Cincinnati.
Yep.
You know, it's not a natural surface there in Cincinnati, which is key because I think the Steelers have now failed to cover 10 straight road games on a natural
mm-hmm.
surface, but this isn't. They've swept the Bengals the last 2 years. So, yeah, I like the Steelers to get it done here. I'd like to go on a rant about the Steelers now.
Okay, go ahead.
As I collect my thoughts. Their ownership, which is usually very solid and I have high regard for, is being foolish with this, oh, we're the Steelers. We need to run the ball. I don't understand what they're thinking. That was the edict that came from above. It's why they replaced Bruce Arians, the aforementioned Bruce Arians, mm-hmm. with Todd Haley, the very coarse Todd Haley. Because we need to be a running team. We're the Steelers. That's the way we won in the 70s. Man, don't you get it? The way this Steelers team's going to go anywhere this year, and they can still be a playoff team in this week AFC, make no mistake about it, is by Ben Roethlisberger chucking, dropping back and chucking the ball all over the yard to the Young Money crew, man.
They have some very
this is a passing team.
One of the better wide receiving crews in the
league. Roethlisberger can light up this Cincinnati secondary.
And this is
They need to let him.
Even with a healthy
I know you don't like him. He's a great quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger. He is great.
I'm not going to quibble with his results.
He reminds me of John Elway. A lot by making something out of nothing on third downs. You know, the Steelers will have just two incomprehensibly awful plays on first and second down, and they get that third down with him scrambling and finding that, you know, that hot route or something
right.
like that.
Not going to quibble with his results. And Wallace Brown Sanders, one of the best wide receivers.
They call him
the
Young Money the crew.
League.
I'll never forget on ESPN First Take when it was thrown to that format, Dana Jacobson saying, "Why do you call your guys the Young? Why do you call yourselves the Young Money crew?" And I think it was Emmanuel Sanders who goes, "You got to get that money, man." I could have said it better myself.
You're not going to get it playing for the Roonies, right, Mike Wallace?
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, too. Mendenhall, and I say this as somebody who's got him as a backup on one, if not both, of my fantasy teams. But look, realistically, even if he was healthy, you would not call their stable of running backs above average in this league.
Yeah.
They'd be below the median.
They're not playing to their strength.
I agree with you.
It's very frustrating. And they could really exploit a bad Bengals secondary.
It's not frustrating to me because I hate the Steelers.
But I'm just saying if you're a Pittsburgh fan,
if this were college football and this were a rivalry, you know, how they have the symbolic thing that, you know, the winner has possession of.
Oh, yeah, the trophies?
I think so.
In this game, they would be
playing for a brown tooth. If it was between the Steelers and the Bengals.
Good job.
I just had
yes,
to go there.
Yes, because Browns fans are so sophisticated.
Well.
And on that note, as we transition to your game of the week, apparently.
Exactly. And I'm not so sure that the fellow who dumped his head in a bucket of urine in that now viral video from the Muni lot is going to like this one.
And people wonder, where is Cammy at, my girlfriend here, who wonders why I never go tailgating.
I believe she departed the premises.
Yes.
You'll have to tell her about this reference off air.
Yes.
That viral video, I mean, nothing made me more ashamed than to see that. Well, a way to perpetuate the image of all of us Browns fans, you jack off. But here we go. Kevin Harlan and Solomon Wilcox.
The announcers. I love this gimmick.
Solomon struck Match Wilcox and Kevin Harlan calling this one. And, So I say that because of Solomon Wilcox's fondness for certain tobacco products, of course. There would be no other reason for that. But... anyways, 1-5 Browns, 2-3 Colts, and the Colts are laying 2.5 in this one, down from 3 earlier in the week. And this one, I don't feel like I really have my mojo on making picks here. This is my 1,000-star gold plated lock of the millennium for
this.
NFL Week 7, but this game does just seem blatantly obvious to me. You talk about going opposite last week. If it wasn't for last week, wouldn't this spread be much? What would this line be coming off of the Colts beating the Packers and the Browns getting housed by the Giants? It would be 5 or 6.
I'm not sure if it would be that high, but it would be 4.5 maybe.
I think it's only an overreaction to last week that makes it this close. And, again, I take in my big three picks, I'm going with the hated Squealers and against my Cleveland Browns here in this game. I think this is a return to form for a Colts team that I think is going to make a quasi-respectable run and maybe be a real, real, real dark horse for a wild card in a horrible AFC. I like the Colts to cover in this one.
Very interesting. You know, there have been some weeks where I have disagreed with all of your big three top picks.
Yeah.
This week I agreed with the first two, mm-hmm. which were both road favorites.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of two games I'm passing on this week.
Okay.
I hate this game. I can't believe this is a gold-plated anything.
Okay.
For anyone. Here's the reason. Initially, I was totally with you in what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
100%. 1,000%, if you will, in this case. But I'm worried, and people get mad at me when they find out what I do and they ask who my favorite team is, and I tell them I don't have a favorite team because that clouds my judgment and I can't do that. Living in an NFL market, I feel there's this renewed enthusiasm. By the way, if you're one of these people on Facebook, and look, some obviously if I read it on Facebook, you were my friend, and so I'm sorry I have to say this. If you're one of these people who said 11-5 starts here, you're a tool. Okay, there's no other way about it. You're the Browns. Now, the Browns were my big pick last week, yeah. And there's a lot of renewed enthusiasm surrounding the team. But I think that's only locally, not nationally. I don't think that nationally people are going to be running to the betting window to take the Browns off last week's upset win. It's only locally there's that enthusiasm.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you here. I'm not in love with the Colts as a favorite. Now, I did say the Colts would be a 6-win team. I think you agreed with it. I think we both had them 6-10
True.
Before the year. And we said because of the easy home schedule. Well, this is a home game against a 1-win team. They should win, but you talk about just do with the Steelers. After all those losses, the Browns are probably due to win a couple. They did win on this field last year. Granted, that was when the Colts did not have Andrew Luck. The reason I'm passing here is because if I make a pick and I'm wrong, I'm going to be really mad.
Okay.
I could see either thing happening. You're right. I initially was with you, but I'm waning a little bit. Trent Richardson could have a big day here.
159 yards per game given up on the ground by the Colts. That makes me a little hesitant.
They gave up 252 to the Jets last week.
Yeah. And Richardson, as I called it at the beginning of the year, is absolutely the real deal. He won't get a chance to show it that much because of the state of the Browns' offense, the fact that he's facing a lot of eight in the box, et cetera. This is a week when he will get to show it.
Another issue for the Browns is how do they respond, you know, locally, obviously this is big news, with this ownership shakeup. You know, we have a lot of people playing for jobs. Pat Shurmur, is he a lame duck coach?
Yeah. Big distractions.
I just have to stay off. This and the Monday night game, I just want no part of.
Okay. By the way, and this tells you everything you need to know about the alleged state of the Browns' renewed passing game after last week. Two leading receivers on the team through six games. Trent Richardson with 22 receptions and backup running back Ogbonnaya with 16 receptions. Both of them have – oh, and by the way, Ben Watson third with 15. Then you get the Greg Little fourth. The top wide receiver in catches is behind three non-wide receivers. Also –
how many catches does he have?
He has 14, and I think he has 140 drops. So he's caught –
Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky.
You're changing your mind. You're going Colts now. Now that I told you that. Yeah.
No, screw the game.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Al Pacino when that guy, that poor sap, walks in and Glengarry Glen Ross. Forget about the deal.
Okay.
The deal's done.
Okay.
Ricky.
Yeah.
You're telling me the leading, the actual wide receiver in the Browns, through six games.
Yeah. Has 14 catches.
Ricky.
That's a robust 2.3 maybe per game.
The Browns. I'm going to ask you something.
Yeah.
Because you're a little dialed into it. We're both living here in Cleveland, so you're a little dialed in.
Okay.
Brandon Weeden does look okay. Did they make a – but here's an issue.
Still not sold on him.
I mean, look, I'm not saying the guy's Joe Montana, but he looks – he doesn't look like the worst ever like he did after that first
Right.
Game. He's progressing at least, which you like to see.
All the Facebook general managers are now doing things. You know, through the last five games, his numbers are ...
I love it. You know how I feel about those Facebook GMs, too.
Exactly.
We're calling you out, Nick Flasher.
Oh!
Okay. But
that
listen,
just happened.
Yes. I think he's better than Colt McCoy, personally. But anyway,
I'm
here's the problem.
Agnostic on that question.
Here's the problem. Good use of the word agnostic.
Thank you.
If you look at the last two drafts, this past April and last year, they were both rich in receivers. The Browns' most glaring need, as you've just detailed wonderfully, is receiver. Next year's draft, where the Browns will, oh, by the way, again be picking high, there's no great receiver. I looked at my good friend Mel Kiper's top 10. There's no receiver on there.
Where does he have Robert Woods?
Not in the top 10. Maybe.
Wow.
Is he eligible, Robert Woods?
I think he is.
I'll have to check on that. I don't want to derail this trip. But there's two quarterbacks he has up there, Barkley and Geno Smith.
Right.
if the if they would have taken a
give me Geno Smith, give me
if they would have. I'm always partial to those cocky blondes. You know that. I just wonder if because they're not going to get a good free agent to come here.
No.
I mean, this receiving situation has to be resolved.
Untenable. It's horrible. I've been screaming about it for a long time. I wanted Justin Blackmon in the draft.
Even though he hasn't done much, but then again, I mean, he's in Jacksonville.
He's in Jacksonville,
but
yeah. I mean, chicken or the egg, but still. But everybody here and all the Facebook GMs, well, they got fourth-round steal Travis Benjamin. 5 catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown through 6 games.
Yeah, that's not last week.
Yeah, that's
the season.
That's
6 games.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a little... A glimpse at the misery that is the Cleveland Browns here, my team, the team in our market that we broadcast out of every week. So my pick is against them here for my lock of the week, Indianapolis laying 2.5. Also liking for my big three, New Orleans laying 3, Pittsburgh laying 1.5. On your
all
big
favorites,
four,
all
yeah,
favorites.
Go figure.
Yeah.
On your big four, you are agreeing with me on one of them here. There's an overlap, New Orleans laying 3. Your other ones are Arizona getting 6 from Minnesota, Buffalo laying 3 to Tennessee, and Houston laying 6.5 at home against B-more.
I don't like that Houston pick the more I think about it. Got it. I just you always want to trust your natural instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Good boy.
Is there a reversal coming? This would be
no,
a first.
I'm going to stick with it.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with it.
Okay. All right. So
God, I don't like it though.
That's how I feel looking at the slate here this week. All right, well, we'll see how all of these shake out.
Go Houston.
Hopefully, I'll be in a much happier place for NFL Week 8. A little bit of renewed success. I can certainly hope for that.
Yeah, and let me peek ahead real quick to something here.
No,
hopefully, we'll be able to talk more about NFC, AFC. I'll try to get some numbers.
By the way, the buys, as we wait until 65 minutes into the show to give you those, Atlanta, Denver, Kansas City, Miami, Philadelphia, San Diego.
Okay, so we're usually it looks like there's some non-conference games next week.
Okay.
Not too many. You got Jacksonville, Green Bay, New England. Oh, road favorite. I know you're going to be on New England against St. Louis. but hey, maybe not. You took St. Louis against Green Bay.
I did indeed.
Washington, Pittsburgh. So there's some non-conference matchups next week.
All right. We will see how they shake out here for NFL Week 8.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.